91.3 KXCI Tucson, real people, real radio.
Good afternoon, Tucson. Thanks for joining us today at 91.3 KXCI Radio, where our broad community with many perspectives comes together, and that community is you. This is Aspen Green with my co-host, Kathy Harris, and we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. You can learn more about our Broad Perspectives Radio page at kxci.org. In 2004, the Women of Quail Creek organization began. It's primarily a social organization of a community of women dedicated to learning, giving, and engaging. We have with us today Deb Melton, the Director of Scholarships for this organization, and I'm very excited to hear about what's going on there, Kathy.
Yeah, me too. This is such a great program, Aspen. Deb Melton is the Director of Scholarships for the Women of Quail Creek. She's been a resident of Quail Creek, a Robson Resort community, since 2018, and she joined the Women of Quail Creek soon after. Melton is a firm believer that education, especially for women, is the best way to ensure one's independence. She even worked as a teacher before building her family. Joining the scholarship committee was a natural fit for her. Melton knows that many people need assistance with post-education cost. She's passionate about providing scholarships because she believes that it's important to help the next generation make the best of what they have to offer, not only for themselves, but for what they contribute to society. We certainly agree with that. Deb Melton, welcome to Broad Perspectives.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're so glad that you could take the time to talk to us today about this great program. You know, we always like to start with a question that we're always interested in with the people we interview. Are you originally from Arizona? Are you from another state?
Well, I think like most people who live in Arizona now, I did grow up somewhere else. But I moved to Tempe right after college in 1971 and spent 10 years then in the Phoenix area before moving to Colorado for about 37, 38 years. And then back here after retirement.
Ah, and why did you choose coming back here for retirement?
My husband and I lived at 9,000 feet in a ski town near Breckenridge. And after 70, living at 9,000 feet gets a little tough. And we decided, you know, we were only skiing maybe 1 or 2 days a week instead of 4 or 5. And we thought some warmer weather would be nice. And I'd always loved Arizona. So here we are.
Okay, well, what a great life you have had skiing in Colorado all those years. And you were a teacher, too. Where did you teach school? Was that in Colorado?
No, I actually taught before I had my children. My first job was in Higley, Arizona, and Higley was just a little stop in the road in those days. Then I moved up to Deer Valley and taught there for 5 or 6 years. And then when I was in Colorado, I taught disabled skiing and also in the regular ski school at both Breckenridge and Winter Park.
Oh my gosh, what an interesting and worthwhile life you have led. Okay, so let's start with where and what is the Women of Quail Creek?
Well, the Women of Quail Creek is primarily a social organization. As you mentioned, we were founded in 2004, I believe, by just really a handful of women at that time. Quail Creek, the Robeson retirement community where we live, was rather small then, and they just wanted to start a club, basically, to get together. But we've grown exponentially. I believe we have over 370 members now. We are also a 501c3 Arizona corporation nonprofit. And we became a 501c3 in 2001, primarily because of the scholarship program. Because now when people donate, it is tax deductible for them. But we have a lot of programs. The Women of Quail Creek is just huge. We have a director of programs, and they have both large group programs like speaker, luncheons, that type of thing, as well as small group programs, things like In My Kitchen, where a member will host an event for maybe 5, 10 women and teach them how to cook their specialty dish. We have small groups that are book clubs and Mexican Train, and we had a genealogy club for a while, then they split off and became their own club. There is so much to do just within the Women of Quail Creek that it's hard to tell you about all of it.
It sounds like a great community. Let's talk a little bit about the scholarship program. You are now director of scholarships. Tell us about that program and how did it start, when and why did it start?
The scholarship program is the main endeavor for the Women of Quail Creek. And what that really means is that is our main charity, if you will, not the only, but certainly the main one. We started in 2016. And that year, we gave two $1,000 scholarships, one to a graduating young woman from Sarita High School, and the other $1,000 scholarship to a young woman graduating from Walden Grove High School. Those are the two high schools closest to us. Since then, we have grown exponentially. And this year, we are awarding $104,000 total to 32 women.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot. 20 high school young women graduating from three different high schools. And then we also have a program called Women in Transition.
Yeah, tell us about that. I was curious. What is that program?
Oh, that is a great program. And I'll tell you, it is so unique. There are very few opportunities for scholarships for people returning to school once they're adults. And that's what Women in Transition is all about, because we recognized that so many women have their post-high school education interrupted because of various life events. Many of us end up getting married young or pregnant or so many different things. Some have to go to work right after high school because they can't afford higher education. And so we recognized that there was a huge need there for a scholarship to be offered to those women. So the Women in Transition Scholarship was developed in 2017, so the very next year. And that year, we gave out five Women in Transition Scholarships. Yeah, we just recognized that there was a huge need for women returning to school. So they have to be over 21. Have to be a resident of either Pima County or Santa Cruz County. And many of them go to Pima Community College, but not exclusively. We've been able to form a really good partnership with Pima Community College. They have been just a great supporter of the Women in Transition Scholarship and have helped us to promote it.
Okay, I love that because we all know so many of our friends, women friends, don't go back to school until after their kids are raised or they're in a position where they can. So that's a fabulous program. So happy to hear
that. That's right, yeah.
You talked about the qualifications. You have to be over 21. That's for the Women in Transition program. What are the qualifications in general to apply? Are there like income requirements?
Yes, we do look very closely at need, we call it. And so for our high school girls, we do ask that they apply for the FAFSA grant, and that gives us a very good indication of income and need there. It's a federal program. It pays up to $6,000 per year, and you can use the money for living expenses as well as tuition. Our scholarships are only for tuition, and we pay them directly to the school based on an invoice that we get from the school on behalf of the student. So the money goes directly to the school, and any unused portion of their scholarship award then comes back to us if they were to drop out or not be able to finish for whatever reason. We do look very closely at need. We have quite a criteria for both high school and the Women in Transition, where our committees first go through all the applications and do a screening based on need and very heavily on whether or not we believe the young woman is passionate and will succeed, because we think that's very important also. So part of their application, they have to submit some letters of recommendation and write a personal essay, as well as just the facts sort of thing. They also have to be accepted already to an accredited school. We don't just do college, we also do trade schools, if you will. Well, we have one high schooler this year who wants to be an auto mechanic and is going to an intensive program for that. We have another one who is going on to cosmetology school, and then she wants to also get a business degree so that she can start her own shop and run her business. So it really varies all over the map.
That's just fabulous. It sounds great. Now, do they have to be from a particular geographical area?
Our high schoolers have to attend one of the three high schools, Walden Grove, Sarita High, or Rio Rico High. The women in transition must be a resident of Pima or Santa Cruz County.
Okay, good to know.
We try to keep everything local.
Yeah, that makes sense. And where does all the money for these scholarships come from? You gave over $100,000. Where does that money come from?
Well, we have one big fundraiser in the fall every year, and that's called the Javelina Hoedown. It takes place here in Quail Creek at the clubhouse, but we are rather limited there because the clubhouse, basically the ballroom, can seat 300 people. And so we sell tickets for that event. We have a chuck wagon dinner. This year we'll have a live band. And in addition to that, we have silent auction items. We do a cash raffle, and we raise quite a bit of money there. Oh, and I just like to say that our community is very generous. The businesses around Sarita, Green Valley, Rio Rico, and Tubac are very generous in providing things for the silent auction. Plus, we have a lot of very talented artists that live here in the Quail Creek community who are also generous with donating things to the silent auction. So that typically raises around $15,000. We also take donations, and this year we were fortunate to have a group of people come together and say, we want to put together a donor group and launch a matching fund. And so they put up $40,000. We advertised it to be matched on a 2-for-1 basis. So we were able to raise another $20,000 on top of that. Our community was just very generous with opening their pocketbooks for this cause. I think a lot of people recognize the need.
Wow, that sounds great. And it's so nice to have a community like that to rely on. I think most communities are pretty generous when you tell them what a great cause you have, and you have a great cause. I have a number of more questions about this great program, but I think right now we should do a music break. What do you think, Aspen?
But of course, we should do a music break. That's what I think. So you picked a very wonderful song today that I think everybody's going to be familiar with, which is 9 to 5, of course, by our very own Dolly Parton. And she wrote it for the 1980 comedy film of the same name. The song was written for the film that starred Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and Dolly Parton herself in her own film debut. The song and film owe their titles to the 9-to-5 organization founded in 1973 by a group of Boston secretaries. And that was with the aim of bringing about fair pay and equal treatment for women in the workplace and to end sexual harassment. So the song reached number one on the 3 Billboard charts and earned an Oscar nomination. And it was released as a single in November 1980. So let's give a listen to 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton. This one comes off her album from 2003 called Ultimate Dolly Parton. 91.3 KXCI Tucson. And we're returning to our interview with Deb Melton, the Director of Scholarships for the Women of Quail Creek.
You know, I just have to say, I never knew until you just said so, Aspen, that that song, 9 to 5, came from this advocacy group for equal pay and all kinds of great things for women. That's very interesting
it
to know.
It fits right in today's show, for sure.
It does. And now I like that song even better. Okay, well, Deb, tell us, if you know, how many applications did you get this year for these scholarships, and how many scholarships were you actually able to give?
This year, we really got quite a few applications. We had a record number from or WIT, the Women in Transition Program, we received 19 applications and we're awarding 12. And each of those scholarships will be $3,500, as I mentioned, payable directly to the school. High school, we received 33 applications and we are awarding 20. And those will vary from $2,000 up to $3,500. When we're thinking about raising money, because we are an all-volunteer organization, we don't have any employees. We don't have an office. So our operating expenses are extremely low. And we try to keep it that way so that 99.9% of the money we raise goes directly to the awards.
Good to know. Thanks for pointing that out. And when will you be announcing the winners of this year's scholarships?
The winners are being notified this week. Then we will have a awards night celebration here at Quail Creek on May the 8th. And that'll be in the evening at 6:30. It is open to the public. We invite anyone who's interested to come and help us celebrate. The majority of our recipients will be present. The Rio Rico High School is having their senior awards night on the same night. So unfortunately, our Rio Rico recipients will not be able to be in two places at once. But all of our other recipients will be there, and we like to honor them.
Well, that sounds like that's going to be a very exciting night.
Yes,
you know, tell
it
me,
will.
Do you do any follow-up about the women who receive these scholarships, if they stick to it, if they're able to get degrees? You know anything about them? What happens to them after they get it?
Yes, we definitely do. We assign one of our committee members to keep in touch with them. We call them their mentor, but it's not really a mentor the way you might think of it in a traditional way. It's just the term that we're using. But they keep in touch with their recipient and maybe have lunch with them or coffee, correspond, email or text, just kind of keep in touch throughout the year and then follow up later on. So we hear back from them and about their successes, which is really great. They sometimes provide a little more support than just moral support. For example, during COVID, one of our recipients, she and her whole family, and I think she had three children at the time, all came down with COVID. She and her husband, everybody was very sick. This was, you know, in the early days of COVID before we had the vaccine and all of that. And her mentor heard about that and then organized a group of us to provide meals for them for a couple of weeks. So somebody took something over every day because they just really were so sick. They just did not have the energy to do all that. So, you know, we try to do things like that. Another one of our recipients was becoming a dental hygienist. And we found out that someone here in the community had just retired and she still had her instruments and they were fine. And those instruments are very expensive and our scholarship does not cover that. It only covers tuition. So she was able to get these instruments donated to her and that really helped her out a lot. So, you know, we try to do little things like that too, where it's appropriate.
Well, it sounds like it would be very hard to not get involved in people's lives. if there's something that you can contribute to them. Tell me, what do you see for the scholarship program in the future? I gather you think it's going to go on. Do you see it getting larger? What do you see for it in the future?
Well, as I mentioned, we are an all-volunteer organization of retired women. I'm not sure how much larger we can get. We have talked about that, and certainly our community has been very, very generous. Yes, it will continue for sure, because we have so many people who are passionate about doing this. One of our major donors shared with me recently that the reason he's interested in supporting our program is that he did not have help going to college, like many did not, and had to work and struggle to pay for everything. And he's been very fortunate in his career and wants to give back. And that's what we find for many of our donors. So we've talked about various ways to sustain the program. No final decisions have been made, but I know that our committee and the whole organization of the Women of Quail Creek is very much behind the scholarship committee. And so we will continue to offer scholarships each year.
Well, I can see that it's a great fit for you, that you are very passionate about it and dedicated. And we thank you for that service. This really is wonderful. And if people want to donate, or if they want to somehow get involved, or if they want to apply for a scholarship, where would they go to find out about the Women of Quail Creek and the scholarship program?
Well, our website has a wealth of information, and that is womenqc.com. And if you go to that website, there are tabs at the top. You can click on scholarships, and applications are there. Now, the applications are only available from the 1st of January until the 1st of April each year. And then they're taken down because we don't accept applications year round. So if somebody's wanting to apply and you go there now, likely you will not find the application. But to donate, you can go to the website and my information is there. And the best way is to contact me by either email or phone, because we do not have the capability for people to click on the website and put in their credit card. We're thinking about that. We're working on that. But again, we are a nonprofit and we are all volunteers. So we don't have a staff who has done all that work.
We understand. And that's what makes you even more valuable, in my opinion. So Deb, unfortunately, we're out of time, but thanks so much for coming in to tell us about this great program. Aspen?
As we always say at the end of the show, it is unfortunate that we're out of time because we'd love to speak with you even more. And thanks so much, Deb Melton, for coming today and talking to us about this wonderful organization that I didn't know about, the Women of Quail Creek, and the opportunities you provide for women. You know, I was going to ask, I mean, is there an age limit at the top? Can you be in your 70s and apply for this?
We don't have an age limit at the top, but I do have to say we probably favor a little bit younger women.
I figured that might be the case. And thanks to all of you out there for supporting Broad Perspectives Radio at KXCI. You can learn more about us at Broad Perspectives Radio page on KXCI.org. Right now, stay tuned. Don't turn that dial, because next up we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll be back next week. And we'll go out with a portion of the song Working Woman by Ruthie Foster.
She's overtime and underpaid. She's punching that clock, she's climbing that ladder, she's spinning those wheels. She can do your job 10 times better and do it in heels. So get your glass up for the working woman. When you gotta get it done, call the working woman. This place, from a mop and a broom to a corner office in a big old desk, everybody knows, ain't nobody knows like a woman how to clean a mess. So get your glass up for the working woman. When you gotta get